The following contains language of a frank and explicit nature. Discretion is advised.
This is Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul and Bernie Siplicki.
The two of you were under restraining orders to stay away from each other.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Well, you're going to get it now.
Sports Saturday is powered in part by Green City Garage, an environmentally responsible garage in South Burlington, working on all makes and models, specializing in your family's car, truck, or SUV. Top Hat Entertainment, helping you with all your party needs, from DJs to inflatables. They have it all. Vermont Mortgage Company, mortgage expertise dedicated to Vermonters. See how easy obtaining the right mortgage can be. And Romanto's Pizza, delivering within a 10-mile radius of Taft Corners.
Taft Corners is in Williston.
Try them for your next wing order, too. 879-1000.
You need to start throwing bombs, baby!
This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
Living the dream, baby, living the dream.
Paddle puts it up. Doesn't go.
What a tip.
Oh, Doja is able to knock it down. Battle.
Let's go.
He backs off of him, puts it up, and this game is over. The Blue Devils advance to the regional final for a matchup with the Kansas Jayhawks for the right to go to the Final Four.
We are living the dream and taking you with us. I'm officially making an announcement right now. You two are not allowed to converse before the show. I want to know everything that goes on. This is ridiculous. I had to deal with the Virginia loss last week, and now I got to start the show off. I was all excited to get on here and say, we're living the dream and taking you with us. This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN. And instead, I got a buzzkill. I've had a bad morning as it is, and you got to lead off with Duke rolling to the Elite Eight. I was going to give you your due today, but now I'm mad. Now I'm angry. Now I'm annoyed.
And you know what? You're so much better
I'm not
when you're
better.
This passionate.
No, it's not
and,
true.
And it is great. And it's great to see you on this beautiful Saturday morning.
802-655-6672 is the number to call if you want to join this conversation. Like I said a second ago, we are living the dream, sort of, and taking you with us here on Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN. I am Jeff Paul. Bernie, a very happy Bernie Siplicki. And let me paint the picture for all you folks out there. He's got on his blue and white Nike low-top sneakers, pair of white socks. I'm going to do what Michael Kay does before the Yankee game, so he tells you what everybody looks like. Blue shorts with the Duke logo on them, the Duke sweatshirt that's seen better days, by the way. Okay, so you are like a giant blueberry in here today, pal.
Papa Smurf.
Yeah, getting ready to rock and roll because your Blue Devils are punching their way to the Elite Eight. You must be a happy man today.
Absolutely, I am. And, you know, the road doesn't get any easier on Sunday. But, you know, the way I look at it, they're in the Final Five because they're the last game to be played.
There you go. Final Five for the Dukies. And listen, you look, on paper, the Duke Blue Devils have the best talent, I think, left in this tournament. I really do. I think talent-wise, they have the best. Come on. Who has better talent right now out of these teams that are left? Let's go through this.
No, that's fair.
I mean, Duke's talent, I mean, I guess you could rival it with Kansas a little bit, and I guess Villanova. Villanova's playing at an elite level.
Mean, anybody at this point, minus, you know, from an NBA standpoint, maybe you take away the Loyola and Kansas State, but the other schools, maybe even Florida State, but everybody else is pretty good.
Oh, look, it's the NCAA tournament. Every team that's in this tournament is great, but the teams that are left are fantastic. But I think on paper, when you look at Duke and you look at Villanova, I think those are the two teams, and Kansas, I think those are the three teams with the most talent. But I don't know if anybody's playing any better than Michigan. When you start seeing the things that the Michigan Wolverines are doing in this tournament, making, what did they make a half-court
shot to win the game?
They were unbelievable.
And the way they played offensively against Texas A&M was ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, it's really going to be, I think right now Michigan has, if you're, you know, and guess we're an unbiased opinion here, I think they have the easiest road to the Final Four. I mean,
why is that?
Well, I mean, the matchups are pretty good for Michigan. You know, I mean, I think today they play Florida State.
Right,
The South is going to be Kansas State or Loyola.
That's right, because that bracket just got turned upside down.
It did get turned upside down. I have to tell you, too, and I don't know if anybody else can relate to this, and if feel free, like I said, call us, talk to us. You can text us on the Town Fair Tire text line, 802-655-6672.
Had a buddy who went there this morning.
Went where? The Town Fair Tire?
Yeah.
I love the song anyway. Like, I always hum that. Town Fair Tire. Think. I'm when I'm driving.
It is catchy.
Street,
it's a catchy jingle.
Yeah, I got to go over the jingle for like that for Romanto's. That would be good. But
You got Mungo. That's all you need.
I got Mungo. That's all I need.
Yeah.
But I will say that I am so distraught over, I'm still like feeling the hangover from Virginia losing.
Me too.
I'm having a hard time. I'm having a hard time. I'm having trouble watching these games. I'm peeking in. Like, I'm literally, just so I'm up to date with them, when there's games and I'm literally flicking back and forth because I can't watch too much because it pains me too much to see.
So you won't watch any of these Elite Eight games?
Okay, so you said any. I didn't say I won't watch any.
Okay.
I will not watch.
Will you be able to sit down and watch wire to wire?
No. I don't think I can do that. I don't think I try. I did a little bit last night with the Villanova when I got home from work later on in the evening. I watched a little bit of that Villanova West Virginia game.
What a game that was.
That was an unbelievable game. You know, and I got to say about West Virginia, they don't stop. Well, they don't stop, but they made some really bad decisions with the ball offensively when they had a chance to kind of. They had a 4 or 5 point lead a couple times, and they really rushed some things. My case point, the most unbelievable play of the NCAA tournament for me at least was that block on the breakaway dunk. That kid for West Virginia, who's the best shot blocker in the country as far as I'm concerned. I mean, he's insane. The kid from Villanova, it's a breakaway. I think Brunson sends the ball out to some streaking kid for Villanova. He goes up to do this tomahawk dunk, and this kid from West Virginia comes out of nowhere, goes up with two hands.
No,
not happening.
Yeah.
But they turn around and come down, and the point guard for West Virginia,
Carter
takes a terrible 3-point shot.
But that's what they do.
I know that's what they do. But if you're trying to win championship, trying to win a game against a team like Florida, against a team like Villanova, you can't do that. I mean, that stuff just cannot happen. So, I thought that they made some weird decisions with the ball, and obviously Villanova's elite, and when they see a scene, they take it, and you got to respect what they've done. I mean, I wasn't real high on Villanova going into this tournament just because I've never been sold on the Big East, but they're a really good basketball team, and a team that I think right now is playing the best out of anybody in the tournament. I think they're the team to beat.
Well, and Jay Wright was quoted on saying how physical the game was, and he's more nervous about his matchup on Sunday because he doesn't know if they're going to be able to recover physically from just that battle, which was the best game of the tournament. Well,
I don't know. There's been a lot of unbelievable games. And it's been a crazy tournament. I think this is what makes the NCAA tournament so special. And this is why I've always said, how cool would it be if college football adapted, and I'm not saying you're going to have 68 teams in a tournament, but if college football adapted to something like this, that would make every team have to play more than just a couple games. Because this isn't really about the best team. This is about the team that's playing the best. And when it's all said and done, you've got to play six great teams, and you got to win them all to get it done. That's why it's so hard to win a championship in the NCAA basketball. Where in football, you really are rewarded for being one of the two or three or four best teams. You have to win one game to get to the final, and you have and obviously in football, you're gonna have a week to prepare anyway because of the sport. But how great would college football be if you could have upstarts get into this tournament and cause havoc, like say Loyola Chicago is, and we could have said the same thing. And I said it during college football about UCF. How neat would it have been to see UCF have an opportunity to compete for a national championship? And the way it's set up right now, it's not going to happen. And all the purists in college football don't want to hear this, but it would be an unbelievable thing if you could put 16 teams in a college football playoff. And I don't know how you do it. I don't know if you have to take conference football championships out. I don't know if you have to take a game or two off the schedule. I don't know if you have to play a month into the season. I have no idea. But if you did this, how amazing, Bernie, would that tournament be?
It would be fantastic. And, again, where do you start that expansion? Do you go from 4 to 8? Do you go from 4 to 16?
But why does it have to be so, why does it have to be so minimal? Why can't we say, hey, we're having 16-team tournament, let's go? Why can't it happen like that?
Because I think a lot of the questions that you were asking yourself as you were saying it in terms of, how does it work out with the schedules and those type of things? And because a lot of college football schedules and contracts are put out 5, 10, 15 years in advance.
That's true.
So I think there's some of it that has to be looked at, but I think again a slow growth there would be fantastic.
And what I would say
I was going to say, we haven't told all of our four listeners out there what is going on today for the show. So finish your point.
Well, my point is that we have so much time between say the end of end of the regular season for college football is in November, right after Thanksgiving, I believe.
Right.
So we don't see those big time the national championship games, the games that mean something
for
the
a
championship
month.
For a month and a half. I mean, aren't those games almost into February in some cases?
No,
early January.
January.
Right after.
January.
So yeah, that's right. The national championship game is like January 5th
after,
or something.
Right.
Okay, then why can't we start that tournament a week after November? Why can't we start that tournament all through December, and you do it every week? You cut out.
you're gonna you're the only good answer I could give you is I know that's around final exam time. December is final exams.
Oh, yeah. Well, we can figure that out, too.
I'm sure they could pretty easily.
I mean, you know, it's a week for final exams. You know, you do exams during the week, you go to practice at night. You're supposed to be an athlete. You're supposed to go to school and be an athlete. Take your exams, you go to practice. It's like any high school kid does.
Travel, the way it works. Is it a home game? Is it neutral sites?
No, they're neutral sites. They're all neutral sites.
Right.
Or, you know, or however it works out. But, you know, you could figure that out. That's all logistical stuff. But we do have a great show, and Bernie obviously wants to keep me on task this morning.
Just a little bit.
You know, he doesn't want to, you know, even though the truth is between you two, I mean, you guys start the show off with something that I don't even know about, so you completely take me off. I'm the host of the show, by the way. You take me off my game completely.
You're a flustered, frustrated host.
That's my
right
point.
Now.
Yeah. I am very frustrated because I'm flustered and frustrated.
See how much fun this is?
It's not fun. Aaron, this is not cool. I'm just telling you, we're going to have a big meeting when
Jeff,
this is over.
I can be bought for a good laugh.
Obviously. It's obvious. All right, so we do have some great guests today. Baseball season starts this week, Bernie. How exciting is that? Just for the fact, you kind of shrug your shoulders because I know you're still rocking.
Because it doesn't matter because the Yankees are going to win.
Stop it.
It doesn't matter. We shouldn't even play.
What it also means is that spring is right around the corner, I think, from what I understand.
Not outside.
And no, you know,
it was snowing on the way in today.
Yeah, I know it was, but it was pretty nice yesterday, and I think it's supposed to be in the high 40s early next week, so that's going to be good. But baseball starts this week. We're going to have Red Sox beat writer from the Boston Herald, Jason Mastrodonato. Mastrodonato. I've been working on this all week. Jason Mastrodonato is going to join us for the Boston
Herald. There is no way you will get that right when he comes on the air.
First of all, I did some research on Jason, and great get, by the way, Aaron. He's a very, very, he's a great writer. He's been covering the Red Sox for a long time. Great guy, works for the Boston Herald. But when I was trying to make the promo for the show, and I was trying, Mastrodonato, I've been practicing it. But anyway, Jason Mastrodonato is going to join us from the Boston Herald. Talk some Red Sox. You know, this is an interesting year for the Red Sox, in my opinion, Bernie, because last year all the talk was Red Sox, all the talk was Boston, Chris Sale comes in, all these great things are happening. And this year, I still think the Red Sox are still the best team in the AL East, but all the talk...
You're such a liar.
I'm not lying to you, I believe it. But all the talk is with the Yankees and what they did because of this Giancarlo Stanton coming over and all what Judge did last year.
Because of the blind robbery?
It's not blind robbery. Okay. Stop it. It's not even close. But it's not, you know, the Red Sox get to come in and...
Wow.
How is that blind robbery? You're not going to know if it's blind robbery until you see what happens five or six years down the road with the Marlins.
All right.
I mean, that's not blind robbery.
Okay.
It's just not.
Okay.
Okay. So stop acting like there's some Jeter and the Yankees and the Marlins did something sketchy. That's not what happened.
Okay.
And the Yankees picked up a lot of that salary. Just keep that in mind.
All right.
And that's what Jeter was trying to dump.
Okay.
Okay. Fair enough. Okay.
All right.
That's a mic drop. Okay, it's a mic drop for me on Bernie there. I just want you to know that.
I'm not even going
to The Red Sox get to go into this year kind of under the radar, which is kind of, I think, a place that I think they like to be because the media's created this buzz around New York, and it's going to be interesting to see if the Yankees can live up to everything that people are talking about.
No question. I mean, the talent and the lineup is just scary. If they get the pitching, I mean, sky's the limit for that squad.
There's a lot of questions. We're going to talk baseball next segment, though. We'll talk about that. And then, obviously, our good friend, and we talked about this earlier coming on, former general manager for the Minnesota Vikings, and he was the executive of the year in 1998. He also was an executive for the Tennessee Titans the year they went to the Super Bowl. Jeff Diamond's going to join us. He's going to join us at 11:20. We've had him on before. He writes some articles for the Sporting News on the side. He had a great article this week I read on the Sporting News about why the Giants should trade Odell Beckham, but he's got a lot of perspective on the free agency in the NFL right now, some of the teams and the moves that are happening, and obviously we are only weeks away from the draft. So Jeff will be a lot of fun to talk to.
It will be a lot of fun, and that was good. I think we just set a record.
What's that?
15 minutes before we mentioned the Giants on the show.
Pretty good. So 15 minutes and 28 seconds.
Yeah, so I think, you know, hopefully the listeners that get mad at us for talking Giants
and I like the jab at those people, but I will say that normally when we talk about the Giants on this show, it's pertinent. I mean, we're not pulling things out of a hat. I mean, you know, when things happen with the Giants, JPP got traded this week. We'll talk about that later on the show, too. But, you know, what a great move by the Giants, by the way. Well done. Well done, Dave Gettleman. Well done so far. Very impressed.
Really? So the guy that they just signed from Arizona who's got four games?
Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's not good.
So not well done.
Okay, so you think Dave Gettleman had any clue about that? Yeah, didn't get any clue that happened? I would hope so. How do you know these guys are doing performance-enhancing drugs? You have no idea. They get tested. They get busted. You don't know that. You can't blame Gettleman for that. That's really unfortunate.
You got to do your research.
No, you got to do. How do you do your research? How are you supposed to research that?
Yeah, ask them.
Yeah, and I'm sure they're gonna be very honest. to be very honest. But anyway, so it's going to be a great show. We also have our Hot or Not segment, our brand new segment. We started a couple weeks ago, Hot or Not, and we have a new segment. Right, Aaron? Big segment today. We're all of a sudden become like, now that we actually have a producer, a guy that, you know, Aaron is like, he's the guy. So we started Hot or Not a couple weeks ago. And this week, Aaron, we're starting
out in left field. Weirdest news we could find.
Exactly. And I'm going to tell you something about, look, so Aaron and I all week have been kind of compiling these different stories. I sent you a couple of them, but there are some crazy things happening in the world. Some of these things that people do, people are crazy. I'm telling you, the more and more I'm like researching some of these stories, if they're real. I mean, I don't know what's real and what's not, but these are unbelievable. We got a great story.
You think there's fake news?
Oh, no. I hope that some of these stories are fake
news.
I hope that some of these stories are fake news. I really do, because some of these are just insane. But we picked one out. I think it's a good one. We'll start that off. So we have our out of left field segment starting at about 10:56, and then at 11:40 we'll
do
our
Is it out of segment. Or out in?
Out in left field. What did I say? Out of left field?
Well, yeah.
Out in left field. What sounds better? Out of left field or out in left field?
Out in left field, because like we're standing out in left field. But
when people say, oh,
that's fitting for us.
Oh, yeah.
We're in left field.
But the saying, though, how's the saying go? That came out in left field.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's out in left field.
Yep.
Yeah, okay, like you said.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, good. All right, take a quick break. Go ahead.
And by the way, he gets a kudos, A+, once again, for a great opening.
You get a J for being a jerk. And you get a J for being another jerk. Oh, I thought you were playing some goofy thing. I didn't know what that was. All right, we take a quick break. When we come back, I'm telling you, you guys have me all screwed up. Baseball talk with me and the big fella. Don't go anywhere. Is the number to call if you want to join this conversation. 802-655-6672. We are Sports Saturday. You can also text us on the Town Fair Tire text line. Same number, 655-6672. You know, so, go ahead. What?
You know how I complain a lot?
Yeah, a lot.
Especially about like timing of events.
Yeah.
You know, the Super Bowl.
Too late for you.
And on a Sunday. Yeah. Why don't we play it on a Saturday?
Right.
All the World Series games.
Late at night. Agreed.
You know, the NCAA championship game will be on a Monday at 9:12.
Yep.
And that leads me even into, like, the NCAA tournament schedule. Like, the Sweet 16 games. Games aren't starting till 10 o'clock
at
night.
I know. What are you talking about? The first round games are starting at 10 o'clock at night.
Right. Well, but the first, because there's
the
more.
The games on the East Coast are starting at 9 o'clock at night.
Right.
That's insane.
And I just.
10 o'clock at night.
I it just drives me crazy.
I think that's why Virginia lost. They were tired. They had the game started at 10 o'clock. Look, this, 10, 10.
This was
crap.
This was not.
So ridiculous.
This was not, you know, a time to take a shot at Virginia and the greatest upset of all time in the right. history of the NCAA tournament.
Yep.
This was more about the timing of the tournament. Like the West Virginia Marshall game, the last game in the round of 32 to get to the Sweet 16. I don't think tip off was till like 10:15.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And it just, you know, I mean, remember growing up, like these games on Saturday, they were like at 2 and 4.
Oh yeah.
Not at 6 and 8:30.
I mean, it's big money now, I guess. I mean, I mean, that's what it comes down to.
Oh, that's right. The billion-dollar contract
that's right.
that the NCAA signs with the television companies, but yet we have to abide by all these rules.
Yeah, I guess.
It's,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, come on now. That's how it goes.
Okay.
It's too bad. I mean, I think you get, and for kids, I think at the end of the day, it's still a game.
Right.
It's just sports. And you want children to be able to watch it. You want to have your kids be able to stay up late enough to watch the games. You know,
case in point, last night.
Yeah,
didn't catch a second.
Exactly, and more importantly, you know, people that are professionals. I mean, you know, you want to watch if your team's if you want to watch the national championship game on a Monday night, you got to stay up till 9 with everything that goes on with and all the fanfare around it. You know, the game won't start until after. You know,
it starts at 9. Tip is 9:12.
9:12. The game will be over at 11:30. Maybe closer to midnight with everything that goes on in it. So it's a long night, no question about that. But that's
why you got to move to the West Coast.
It doesn't even matter. I mean, whether you're on the East Coast or the West Coast, who cares?
If
you live in the West Coast, I guess you have a 10 o'clock game to start at 7. So there you go. They got it better out there. Weather's right. better. Times
right.
are better.
Right.
And I'll talk about the NFL. That's what I would love anyway. Like the NFL games out there. If you're
because you still have time to do stuff on Sunday.
The games are like you get out of bed, you have some breakfast, you watch football. And then you're done and the game's over at noon and you get to finish your day.
Right.
That's really cool. That's why I love when I don't love when my team's out, you know, when they're across the pond and they play the game at 9 o'clock in the morning. But wow, it's great. I mean, the game.
So it throws you off.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't throw you off, but at least, you know, you have your, you can have a cup of coffee and your breakfast, watch some football, and then you have your whole
fruit
day.
Fruit cup?
Or a fruit cup. A little average today with the fruit cup, though.
Really?
It's kind of out of season. It wasn't great. It looked good, and it went down, but I needed it. I was going to say to you about your Dukies, you know, truth be told, you're one of my dearest friends. I'm happy for your Duke. You're a Duke fan. My father is a Duke fan. You know, I love my dad. He's a big Duke fan. My good friend Erin, she's a huge Duke fan, maybe the biggest Duke fan I know. I got friends all over the country that are big Duke fans, so I'm happy for them.
No, you're
but
not.
You know, but I am. I really am. I don't live my life rooting against like other people's teams. I really don't. I'm jealous in most cases because, like, for example, I'm not watching these because I hate these teams. I'm not watching because it's hurting me too much to think that my team, who was the number one team in the country going in, is out after the first game. That's depressing for me. But the problem that I have with Duke that drives me crazy is Grayson Allen. He drives me nuts.
Stop.
I think he is the biggest phony in college basketball. Watching these interviews this year with him on ESPN after they've won big games or after a senior game, it's downright for me. Grayson Allen it's painful to watch him because you're always defined when you face adversity, right? You're always defined. You find out who you are when you lose. I mean, that's reality because, you know, it's always easy when it's easy. I mean, I always said that to my soccer teams. You know, it's always easy when it's easy. When you're winning games and things are going well, it's easy. You know, everybody's happy. There's no problems. But as soon as you lose or there's some adversity, that's when you're defined. And every single time Grayson Allen has faced adversity, teams lost, he has shown his true colors. It just never ends for Grayson Allen. And that's my problem with Duke. I don't have any problem with anything else about what they've done. I think they have one of the best programs in the country, led by one of the greatest leaders ever to live. Even though I think Krzyzewski has changed over the years, especially when he's gotten involved with NBA players, I think his style has changed a little bit in terms of the way his players play.
So he's adjusted to the times like great leaders do?
I don't know if he's adjusted to the times or not. I don't know if that's the case.
The one and done?
No, I think the one and done thing is taken away from what his real brilliance was, Bernie, which was developing programs. I remember that Duke motion offense was one of the greatest things since sliced bread back in the 90s. And now they're not a very disciplined offensive team anymore. And the one-and-done player, yeah, they've adapted to the one-and-done player, but a lot of times the one-and-done player isn't really thinking about the team at some moments. They're thinking about my draft status. Like, you know, I better shoot the three a lot more or I'm not going to be the number two or three or four pick in the draft. But I don't even have a problem with that.
So doesn't that make it even more brilliant, the fact that he has potentially three, maybe four potential, I wouldn't say lottery picks, but first round picks, and to be able to get them to come together and mesh and get to this point of the season?
I think it's very easy to make teams get together and mesh when you have that kind of talent. I don't think it's hard to do that. I'm surprised that they gave up 60 something points to Syracuse. I'm surprised that it was that close. I don't know how anybody beats this basketball team, so I don't know if he really has done that. I don't know, when you look at the talent that Duke has, how anybody in the country can match up with the Duke Blue Devils with these kids that are on the floor. I don't know how they do it. They have arguably
Virginia beat them.
I'm aware of that. I'm totally aware of that. That's my point. I don't know how anybody beats these Duke teams. That's my point. I think Krzyzewski has adapted. He also has one of the most respected programs in the country. They're a blue blood. There's a handful of programs in the country that have the benefit of being who they are. Duke is the benefit of being who they are because they're Duke. I mean, Krzyzewski is Krzyzewski, but he did all of his work back in the 80s and 90s. Krzyzewski doesn't have to do a whole lot to recruit anymore. You know, hey, I'm Mike Krzyzewski, I'm Duke. I want the kid they just got, the number one player in the world, that the kid they just signed not too long ago.
They got the top three.
They got all three.
Take your pick.
There you go. You take them all. I mean, it's easy to go to Duke because that's where everybody wants to go. That's the number one team in the country everyone wants to go. It's them. It's Kentucky. It's North Carolina. Those are the blue bloods. We get
Arizona.
It. Arizona. Those are the blue blood schools. But I think when you look at this Duke team, you know, you want to kind of, I personally, because of you and because of my father and because of friends, I want to root for Duke. But because of Grayson Allen, I just can't do it. Now, we've kind of taken this down the Mike Krzyzewski path. I think Mike Krzyzewski did all of his work back when he had to be a coach, when he really had to be a coach. Now he's kind of reaping. He's basically a CEO of a major organization worth, and I'm using zillions of dollars, and I'm comparing that to a lot of wins and championships in his back pocket. So he can just kind of show up, sit down, and be Mike Krzyzewski.
So you don't think over the course of the 4 years he's worked and tried to help, and even though Grayson Allen still has a couple of blips in the radar, has helped him grow up?
I don't think Grayson Allen's grown up one iota. I think Grayson Allen is still a spoiled brat. He's always been. And when Krzyzewski had an opportunity to really do something, he suspended him for one game. And he suspended him in a game that didn't mean anything. And he brought him right back. And it never stops with Grayson Allen. It never does. I mean, watch, and Duke doesn't lose a whole lot. They don't lose a lot of games.
It never stops.
It never stops when Grayson Allen has not changed since. I mean, his freshman year, I think, was his best year in terms of character. I think.
Well, he never played.
What are you talking about? See him. But that's not true at all. He was a big time piece of that national championship.
He had
team.
One big game in the national championship. Well, if you look at his numbers,
but he was still a player. But he was still a key player.
But,
for them.
You didn't see all this stuff because you didn't get a chance to.
Well, I mean, but I think when you saw Grayson Allen was the role kid off the bench, you know, he was a kid that he had the coming out party in the national championship game, and he was a highly, you know, respected player on a team with a lot of great players. That was a team that had the kid that
Okafor, Winslow, yeah, and Tyus Jones.
So obviously
the team that won it.
Exactly. So that was a great team, a loaded team, and he was a big piece of that puzzle. But you started to see as we got older with Grayson Allen, he doesn't possess the type of leadership I believe that I would want to lead my team. And I can't. And I think that when Krzyzewski had an opportunity to really nip it in the bud, I don't think he did. I think he failed in that capacity because nothing's changed. Nothing's changed with Grayson Allen. That's the biggest problem. And when you listen to him speak after they win, it's like, if they ever win the national championship, I can't listen to an interview with Grayson Allen because I just don't believe a word he says.
Note to self, if Duke wins the national championship, Aaron, make sure we start with the Grayson Allen speech.
No, please don't.
Okay. Post-game interview will be the first thing that
please
plays.
Please don't. Yes. I can tell you what it's going to be. I'm just, you know, I mean, his interview after the senior game at Duke that they had on the court was like,
is that fair to the kid because it's an emotional moment?
He's like that with every time, Bernie. I don't care whether it's an emotional moment. I don't mean to interrupt you, but I just, every time, go to him when they lose. Watch what he does when they lose. Honestly, watch what he does. Watch his actions when they don't win. Watch what he does to players he competes against. Those little cheap shots he makes. Not even to mention the trips. Just a couple weeks ago, we had an issue where there were some.
It was the only time all year against North Carolina in the ACC tournament.
No, it wasn't the only time all year. I'll tell you another time, and you'll laugh because it was the game against Virginia, when Virginia had the lead late, and Grayson Allen and Kyle Guy had the ball in the corner, and Grayson Allen puts his chin in, Guy is trying to take the ball away and fakes that he's getting knocked over and elbowed in the chin, which he didn't. They end up calling the foul on Grayson Allen. When Kyle Guy goes down to help him up, what's Grayson Allen do? Slaps his hand away, yells some ridiculous thing to him. Like he's probably a good kid overall. And I mean, he's going to be a professional basketball player. But in terms of character, I have a question about Grayson Allen, and it bothers me because he shouldn't be. And that, you know, that's not who Mike Krzyzewski, at least in my opinion, is, and what that Duke program's always been. To me, even with the Leitner days, you know, I mean, this to me is just something that's outside the box with me with Grayson Allen. And that's why it's hard for me to root for Duke. It really is. It's hard for me to root for Duke.
Fair warning, if there is another tripping controversy in this tournament, I'm getting that sound too.
Okay. He doesn't care. He doesn't care. He knows. Bernie agrees with everything I'm saying.
To a point, I don't think, I think I have a little more leniency because I'm a fan.
Yeah, of course.
I think the way he's led, especially in the NCAA tournament.
Because they're winning. Because they're winning games.
Right, but the way he is stepping forward and his role and doing things to help them win in a leadership role.
Okay, so again, great player, great college player, can do a lot of things.
Right.
No question about it. They're not questioning his ability as a basketball player, but he does, and I don't question it, like when times are tough, when it's a close game, that he's not in the huddle, getting them fired up and getting in their face. But as soon as that it's over and they know that he's not going to win, he's just not the character guy. And
he's a bad loser.
He's a terrible loser. And okay. But that's not a leader. That's my point. That's not a leader. That's not greatness. That's not a leader. Because you're always defined when times are tough. That's when you're defined.
Okay.
Is
Kentucky walking off the court?
I didn't see that.
Not shaking hands?
No, that's terrible. And here's my point. I didn't see that. And that's horrible as well. That's not good either. And I would say the same thing. That's, if they didn't shake hands, walk up the floor, I totally agree. That's terrible too.
But
Grayson Allen, I'm talking about great. That doesn't mean two wrongs don't make a right here, because that's not how that works.
And to be fair to Kentucky, I'm just bringing it up as a point. You know, again, the question is, how long do you wait for the other team to stop celebrating? You know, those type of things. So there's a lot of other things to look into in regards to them.
Well, I think you wait. I think you wait and shake hands.
Now, if it's a championship situation, and you know it's kind of crazy and people are on the floor, I think you can walk. But in this game, I think you have to. In this situation, I think you needed to wait.
I think you have to wait too. And I think Kentucky had to understand that they were the huge favorite, and you just had a team that wasn't supposed to even be in that position.
No, because they should have lost in the round of 32 to somebody.
To Virginia. Yeah, yeah, okay. Absolutely. In my world, that's what would have happened. We didn't even talk baseball.
Good.
Yeah, you don't want to talk baseball anymore.
Nah.
We are going to talk baseball. We're going to talk about your socks.
All right.
We're going to talk about your
white. I'm wearing white.
Yeah, you got your white socks. Yeah. Don't worry. It'll be all red in a few weeks.
That's right.
All right. Boston reporter, the Red Sox reporter from the Boston Herald, Jason Mastrodonato, will be right here. Don't go anywhere. It's baseball season, Bernie. This week, Major League Baseball starts their season. Your Boston Red Sox.
Isn't there snow on the ground still?
There's snow on the ground here. Give it a couple more days.
Didn't Boston just have like a fourth nor'easter?
They probably did. But listen, they got a lot of snow blowers out there. It's supposed to get a little warmer now. And okay. I understand there's snow up in the Northeast still. We still have a lot of snow. But the good news is when Major League Baseball starts their regular season, it means it's spring.
Spring is coming.
It's right around the corner. And who better to talk to? Because I know you're going to want to talk about your socks.
Of course.
Very excited.
I am.
Then we have never talked to Jason before. This is going to be exciting. On the TikTok viewers guest line here on Sports Saturday is Boston Herald Sox reporter Jason Mastrodonato. Good morning, Jason. How's it going?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty well.
So, listen, let's get right into this. You know, Bernie and I were talking a little bit before the show today as we were getting ready for the show. And one of the things that we talked about last year at this point was everybody was on the Red Sox. That's everybody was talking about what the Red Sox were going to do with their lineup and with bringing in Chris Sale. And this year, with what the Yankees did in the offseason, all the talk seems to be with the Yankees and the Red Sox and kind of slip under the radar. Are you sensing that the team is really embracing that going into this season?
Well, I think they can try to embrace that. But when you sign J.D. Martinez, who was really the best hitter on the free agent market, and you have as much talent as you have coming back, I think it's hard to really sell everybody that you're an underdog. And if you actually compare these teams side by side, the Red Sox and the Yankees, I think the Red Sox have them in rotation. The Yankees probably have them in the bullpen. And the offenses, I think, both should be really good. So I would almost even say the Red Sox have a slight advantage just because that rotation is so good. But they'll enjoy pretending to be the underdogs and feeling like they have something to prove.
I totally agree with you, Jason, and Bernie and I argue about that. Bernie being the big Sox fan, the sandbagger that he is, and me being the Yankee fan, the surrealist over here. I think on paper, the Red Sox are the better baseball team, and I think when it comes down to pitching, I think the Red Sox have it. But I think the big key to that pitching is going to be David Price. What have you seen out of him this spring?
Yeah, well, Price has looked really good so far this spring. I mean, his velocity has been not totally back, but I've seen him in the low 90s, and pretty sharp with his command. I mean, Alex Cora likes to say when Price misses, he only misses by an inch. You know, other guys can miss pretty wide. And his command has been really good. Now, the new program that these guys are on this year where they're doing a lot less between starts, they waited a while to kind of ramp up their pitch counts. They're really hoping to keep them fresh late in the season, and I know this has been a big storyline this spring. But the thing that interests me is, you know, you're taking guys who are veterans here in Sale, Price, Porcello. These are guys who have routines. Two of them have won Cy Young Awards. Sale's come very close to winning a Cy Young Award. And now you're changing that up. So I think while it makes sense on paper that they want these guys to be fresh in October and September, because we saw Sale kind of slow down late last year, and he was actually the first one to suggest this idea after the season, it will be interesting to see how they come out early in the season, because they haven't thrown as much as they usually do in spring training. They're not doing as much work in between starts, and it's going to be new for them. So that'll be something to watch when the season starts, is just how sharp they are in April.
You know, Jason, you talked about the concerns for the bullpen, and how do you see the late innings, you know, kind of lining up? And to kind of follow up on that, how do you think Craig Kimbrell is, you know, mentally and emotionally with everything that's going on with him personally?
Yeah, well, I'll start with Kimbrell. I mean, he's emotional every time he speaks, and it's really interesting because you talk to these guys a lot, and you kind of just think, well, they're strong, they're famous, they're millionaires, they're these big athletes. Like, it's rare to see such an emotional side to them. But Kimbrell's been really emotional ever since he's come back from Boston, where his newborn daughter had heart surgery, her second heart surgery. And he threw 2 days ago. I saw him pitch in a minor league game in the backfield at JetBlue Park. He gets up there and starts warming up, and these like AAA guys from the Orioles are in the dugout. They're laughing because they're just like, oh my God, how are we supposed to hit this? And they go up there. The three guys he faces, he strikes every single one of them out. only one guy makes contact. It was a foul ball. And, again, they're laughing, and they're just like, oh, my God, it's unbelievable. He's powerful, and it's amazing how sharp he was. I mean, granted, these are minor leaguers, but how sharp he was considering he hasn't pitched in a game yet. That was the first game action he's had since last October, and he's been dealing with this issue back at home. So the Red Sox think he's going to be fine. We'll see how he handles the emotional side of it. But, you know, sometimes these guys come out and play even better when they have things going on at home. And for the late innings, I think Carson Smith's going to have a big role in the eighth inning, back and healthy. He looked dominant last year when he came back. He should be even better this year. We'll see what they get out of the other guys. You know, Tyler Thornburg, we're still not sure when he's going to pitch. He's got the thoracic outlet syndrome he's coming back from. Joe Kelly is hit or miss. Sometimes he looks dominant. Sometimes he's a little shaky. Matt Barnes, also hit or miss. So they might have to mix and match other than Carson Smith and Craig Kimbrell.
We are talking the Red Sox beat writer for the Boston Herald, Jason Mastrodonato. Jason, I got to ask this question as well. How much do you take out of numbers in spring training? You know, so when you look at pitchers and maybe they have an inflated ERA, or they have a really great ERA, or you look at batters who are struggling at the plate in spring training. I mean, do you get concerned or excited, or do you really have to kind of wait till the season starts because they're working on so many things?
Sorry, I couldn't really hear you. What your question was about spring training stats?
Well, my question is basically is do you get worked up over great numbers in spring training or not great numbers in spring training? I mean, do fans need to be concerned? So, for example, if a pitcher's had a really high ERA and he hasn't pitched well in the spring, or your hitting isn't going well in the spring, I mean, do you worry about stuff going into the season, or is it really just about they're working on things? You just got to wait till the season starts.
You know, it's all circumstantial. For the most part, guys will tell you not to worry about numbers in spring training. And you know, you could look at David Ortiz, who was a horrible spring training hitter. I think he hit like 200 with an OPS in the 600s in spring training and always came out and played pretty well once the game starts. Rick Porcello, the last 3 years, you know, his ERA when he won the Cy Young was 9.77 in spring training, and it was 7 last year. So some of these guys, they are just working on things, and they don't really care what happens. They're just so focused on trying to repeat their delivery, or, you know, like Joe Kelly this year is really trying to throw a lot of breaking balls because he's a fastball guy, and he thought he threw too many fastballs last year, so he's just throwing tons of breaking balls. So it all depends on what they're trying to achieve. You have a guy like Blake Swihart who comes out this season in spring and has been hitting everything, started really hot. I think he slowed down recently, but that's big for him because there was some concerns over, is he going to make this team? Are they going to have to trade him? He's out of options. What are they going to do with him? So some guys know that they have to perform, and you could see it. They're trying harder. There's something important with what they're doing at the plate, and it's not just working on something. It's proving what they got. So it's all kind of circumstantial, I think.
Jason, we only have a couple minutes left. You know, Dave Dombrowski was brought into Boston to win a championship. That's his MO. You know, he's not there to build organizations and build the farm system. His job is to win championships. The Red Sox have kind of fallen short. They were supposed to have a big year last year, got swept out of the first round of the playoffs. If this year doesn't go well, is Dave Dombrowski going to be on the hot seat?
You know, that's tough. If this year doesn't go well, people are going to start talking about it. I don't think if this year doesn't go well, we're going to sit here and say, you know, it's time for Dave to go. Some people might. I don't think that'll be like an overwhelming opinion. I mean, if you look at what happened with Farrell, we were kind of talking about Farrell for years before they finally pulled the trigger on him. I mean, I remember that talk right before he got diagnosed with cancer. I mean, people were still saying, is this the end for Farrell? And then when he came back, people were saying, are they going to bring him back? What's going to happen? Usually these guys get a little bit longer than you think. So I would be shocked if this season were bad, if all of a sudden, you know, that were the end for Dave Dombrowski. Now, if some people might want to say, gosh, well, what's he done? You know, he spent all this money, the highest payroll in team history this year. They should have one of the highest payrolls, if not the highest in baseball. And why aren't they winning? Now, that's absolutely a fair question. They got bounced in the first round the last 2 years. You know, David Price is his signature contract that hasn't looked great so far. J.D. Martinez now is going to be his other signature move. We'll see how that looks. A lot of his trades haven't worked out, but he made some good ones in the middle of the season last year. So I think it'll be absolutely fair to judge him after the season if things aren't going well, especially since the farm system doesn't look exciting like it used to. And you can look at this and say, well, where's the future of this team? I don't know, because this is supposed to be their window right now. This year, next year, these are the next 2 years. They really got to make something happen.
And that's a concern, I think, because for years, the Red Sox MO was the great farm system, all the kids coming up. But this is Dave Dombrowski. This is what he does. Look at the Detroit Tigers today. That's because of Dave Dombrowski. So it's going to be interesting. Jason, thanks so much for your time, buddy. We appreciate it. We'll reach out to you again down the road through the season.
All right, sounds good. Thanks for having me.
Thanks a lot.
Jason.
Boston Herald's Jason Mastrodonato. Great points, and I think there's not much to argue with there, but I still say, if you're a Sox fan, I mean, are you happy with him? Are you happy with Dombrowski, Bernie? I mean, when they brought Dombrowski in, he was supposed to be the guy that, okay, we're going to win. We're going for it now. And, you know, and a lot of those pieces, a lot of those young pieces that the Red Sox have been holding on to, and the stars of the future. I mean, it used to be the Red Sox can go get whoever they want because of their farm system. Now that the cupboards are kind of dry, Bernie, it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out for Dave Dombrowski.
Well, and that's why this year is so important. You have some success, you potentially win, then all of those questions will go away.
Yeah, that's you're actually winning takes care of everything.
Yes.
But like even with Farrell, I still never understood the deal with Farrell. Like, why would, I mean, he won a championship when they were supposed to finish last. I mean, they were competitive.
And then they finished last when they were supposed to win the championship.
Well, that's not necessarily true. I mean, they come back with the same team, and, you know, and they kind of live up to the expectation from the year before. I just stunned me that they were ready to throw Farrell out, but, you know, and they're still giving Dombrowski a pass. But again, it's still early in the Dombrowski era, and we'll see. By the way, I stood next to Dave Dombrowski last spring. That's a tall man. And he's like, he's got to be a lot taller than you, Bernie.
Anyway, okay.
I'm just telling you.
Thank you.
Tall man. Tall man. Handsome man. Good man. Anyway, when we come back, the first ever Out of Left Field segment begins on Sports Saturday. You're not going to want to miss this story. It really is Out from Left Field. Don't go anywhere. We're back here on Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Interesting conversation with Jason Mastrodonato. And by the way,
the fact you can just
it rolls off the tongue.
Oh man, that was impressive. I'll give you that.
I appreciate that. I was practicing. Good, but I'll tell you what, great insight, right? Well spoken. I mean, great insight there. And I think the Red Sox have to be excited. We'll talk more about baseball in the second hour. But so we're like the game show now. Okay, you know, we got Hot or Not. Our takes coming up. That's every show at 11:40. And now starting this segment right here on Sports Saturday 101.3, starting at 10:56, we have our Out of Left Field. Out in. Okay, I'm sorry.
It's officially
the out in Left Field segment. Okay, this is the first one, maiden voyage. Aaron, what's our story this week?
All right. A Romanian man isn't dead. Court doesn't buy it. So, a Romanian man had lived in Turkey for many years, cutting off communication with his wife. She had him declared dead. A court refused to overturn the death certificate upon his return, despite him being at the hearing.
So basically, the guy leaves his wife.
Okay.
The wife's probably
And he
mad.
Goes to Turkey.
He goes to Turkey. And why wouldn't you?
Okay.
You know? Hanging out in Turkey for a while. She's so mad, she's like, yeah, he's dead. Cuts him off. He comes back and says, hey, I'm right here. And the courts say, no, you're still dead?
Yeah.
So he has a death certificate even though he's alive.
But he's hanging out.
A different court, they overturned his void license for driving. So he can drive, but he's not legally alive.
So he's not alive, but he can drive.
Yes.
Do you have to pay taxes?
So it's is it a ghost car?
Yeah, it's like Wonder Woman's airplane.
Right. The invisible jet.
But I think more importantly, do you have to pay taxes? I mean, I don't know if you pay. I mean, does that mean like, hey, you don't have to pay bills anymore because you're dead? You don't have to pay for anything, right? So no more pay. You pay no more bills.
So what if you go to a restaurant? I'm dead, phone. But I'm going to eat.
No, you have your money. You're going to pay that. You're there. But your cell phone, you use it. You don't have to pay for it. You're dead. You know, you want cable? Oh, man, I would load up on DirecTV. I'd have every sports package. I'd have everything if that was the case. Well, that's a good deal for that guy. Right? I mean, listen, if you don't have to pay.
I have no idea.
It's crazy. I'll tell you what.
What if he had a life insurance policy?
Well, did she get that? That's probably what happened. That's probably the end of the story, is that she wanted the life insurance policy, got the life insurance policy, and now he's, you know, but it wasn't his anyway. What are you going to do? You know, you can't take it with you. That's an interesting story, man. I'll tell you what. But I would just say this. If I'd stop paying my bills. I seriously would. I'd stop paying my bills. I wouldn't pay taxes.
But then they call you and you're like, well, I'm dead.
You say, here's my slip. Go talk to the judge. That's what he tells me. Based on what I understand, if I'm dead, I don't have to pay any bills. That's what I understand. That's how it goes for me.
Yeah, like, what are you going to do? The judge looked me in the face and told me I'm legally dead.
Yeah, I got the certificate right here. It's right here. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Well, I think for the leadoff or out in left field segment, I think that was a home run. That was pretty good, right?
Oh, without question. Yeah, because I'm still perplexed.
It's weird. You're perplexed?
Yes.
That's a perplexed? That's an amazing word right there.
Thank you.
You got a pretty good vocab, Bernie. Not much of a dresser, but good vocab. All right. You ready to do some Sports Center?
Yep.
We'll be right back.
All right. That's enough of the commercials. Sports Saturday is back, and you can be part of the show by calling or texting 802-655-6672. So start dialing now. This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
So I think I'd give us like a C minus on that that last segment. You know, for the first time, not bad. Out in left field. We'll get better on
C
that.
C minus? I thought it was pretty good.
Nah, you know,
it's
a great story.
It's about the story.
No, I agree, but I feel like I was pretty bad. I just wasn't very good at it.
But that's the whole point. Right? Weird news.
That I know, but I wasn't.
What's weirder than that?
That was weird. That's pretty weird news.
You're dead, but you're alive.
Yeah, you are, but you're not.
It's kind of like the South Region. You're dead, but you're alive.
No, well, something like that. South Region tonight. I mean, think about that. So we got Kansas State and Loyola. What a great story that Loyola team is, though.
Yes.
I mean, it's a great story. I hope they keep it going. And why not? I mean, I don't think Kansas State's that good. You know, I mean, they've benefited from, I think, playing UMBC after their huge win against Virginia, and then they moved on. And they beat Kentucky, but Kentucky played very poorly in that game.
Well, that's because of the defense Kansas State played.
And they play great defense. You're right. So good chance there. But it's going to be a low-scoring game, you figure. But Loyola-Chicago, I mean, man, that would be pretty neat.
Sister Jean.
That's amazing. I'm telling you. You stick with God. I'm telling you. Keep him. Good stuff.
Well, Notre Dame hasn't won in a while.
That's a good point. And they don't have Sister Jean, though.
That is true. You
got to have the good one. Yeah. She's good. So, listen. A little baseball talk with the Red Sox. Baseball season starts this week. I think there's some big expectations on the Yankees. We haven't even talked about the Mets, but a Mets team that was really down last season, a lot of injuries. There's some expectation now that the Mets, they could catch the Washington Nationals this year, Bernie. You know, I mean, listen, why not, right?
Absolutely. The Mets are, having a nice, spring here, and they're ready to go, and the pitching is coming along, and they got some bats.
Jay Bruce back in the lineup.
Yeah, it just could be interesting over there. At what is it? City Life Field?
City Field. You go all the time.
I go.
I've been once. You're like Mr. Met.
I've been. Well, I love Mr. Met.
You do love Mr. Met.
I love Mr. Met.
Yeah. He kind of looks like you a little bit.
Okay.
Tall.
Big head.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot like you. Yeah. He wears blue a lot.
Hey.
That's Mr. Met.
That's it.
So interesting. I think the Mets will definitely challenge. The Yankees, like I said earlier.
Loaded.
Look, they are loaded. There's no question. The Yankee lineup, the Yankee team is loaded. There's no question about it. I'm not trying to sandbag that, but I think there's question marks with the Yankees. I think that
where is your question mark?
Okay, I think number one, I think when you look at, I think we'll start right with Greg Bird at first base. Greg Bird has not proven that he can be a steady force in the lineup at all. He's been injury prone. Again, showed moments of greatness. His rookie year, the first year they brought him up, I think he had 11 home runs in like a month and a half or 2 months. You know, he was a big part of what they did the year they went to the playoffs and got beat. The next year he basically out the whole season. You know, last year out most of the season. Comes back and has a nice little playoff run. He's struggled a lot in the spring. There's question marks right there. Second base is a question mark. Tyler Wade looks like he's going to have the job. They brought in Neil Walker, a veteran. I think a guy back and forth will be decent. I think you know what you got with Didi. They brought in Drury at third base. We'll see. You know, Sanchez, Aaron Judge it was a video game year last year. He batted almost 290, 52 home runs, 6,000 RBIs. I mean, how do you replicate that after a year of pitchers seeing you and understanding where your weaknesses are? He's going to have a challenge. Giancarlo Stanton has never played in New York. He's never played in New York, and there's scrutiny that comes in New York City. So there's questions there. Now, they should score a lot of runs, and they think the offense should be fine. On the pitching end, I agree with what Jason Mastrodonato just told us from the Boston Herald. You know, you're relying, and I love Luis Severino, a young kid. I think he's going to be an ace, but we'll see. You know, this is going to be the first year that he's going to be expected to be an ace. Masahiro Tanaka is he gives up a lot of home runs. CC Sabathia is almost 40. Sonny Gray did not pitch well for the Yankees when he came over from Oakland. And then the kid Jordan Montgomery at the fifth starter, you know, you just don't know. And then behind that, there's not a lot behind that in terms of starters that you can bring in if they need that. The bullpen should be fine, but Dellin Betances is a big question mark. So, yes, I think on paper the Yankees look good, but there's a lot of question marks when it comes to them.
Is there enough in the cupboard to do something to bolster the starting pitching
Absolutely.
Right away.
Yeah, there's no question. They have if not the best farm system in baseball, they have one of the best farm systems.
And they have plenty of assets on the roster right now. Yeah,
absolutely. And they definitely have all these assets there, and there's no question that they have what it takes to win. But what I'm talking about, when you're talking about favorites, I think the Red Sox on paper going in have to be the favorite. I think Houston is absolutely a favorite. And what makes you nervous, as I am as a Yankee fan, is that all the talk has been on the Yankees. All the talk has been what they've done. And truth be told, yeah, they brought in Giancarlo Stanton.
And Cleveland's still good, too.
And Cleveland's good. There's a lot of good teams, and there's no question about that. There's a lot of baseball teams that are very good. But the expectation on the Yankees, how do you even compete with that? I mean, that's the biggest question I have, is how do you compete with the expectation? Like, I feel for Aaron Judge. Like, I'm concerned for Aaron Judge. Yeah, there's question marks there.
He's going to be just fine.
I'm sure he'll be fine. But people are, he'll be fine, Bernie. But people are expecting 100 home runs between Stanton and Judge. Could happen. They're both very capable, and they play in a bandbox at Yankee Stadium. But at the end of the day, is it going to happen? And chances are it's not going to happen. I think that's probably the biggest question I have for the Yankees, where on the other side of things with the Boston Red Sox, I feel as if the Red Sox kind of have the type of team that is ready to compete right now. I think they have the best pitching staff in the American League, and I think they have the great potential. But we have a caller on the line, John from Underhill. John, good morning, buddy.
Jan, man. It's our man, Jan.
Oh, Jan. I'm sorry. He wrote John. What's up, Jan?
How you doing, guys? So I can only hear Bernie. I can't hear Jeff. It's a little weird. I don't know. Maybe they want to block Jeff out at this point because he's panicking about the Yankees. But the fact is, that lineup is never going to go through a collective protracted slump. That's just not going to happen. They're going to never lose three games in a row this year. The pitching is going to be suspect, but their bullpen is awesome. They need five innings out of Tanaka, and they're going to win games 7-4. Every week, you know, three or four games a week with, like, scoring 9 or 10 runs.
Yeah, and I agree. I appreciate what, if you can't have, hopefully you can hear me, but I appreciate you saying that, and I think I agree. There's great potential there. But you talk about the team scoring a lot of runs. I question if those things will happen because a lot of those guys are home run hitting guys. There's not a lot of, you know, it's all or nothing with a lot of these guys. And hopefully at the end of the day, it'll be fine. And I think that this team on paper looks like it's going to be fine, but there are question marks with the Yankees that we have to see. I mean, like I said, on paper, they look like they're going to be a juggernaut, but with, you know, you have to see with Bird, can Judge continue to do that? What does Aaron Hicks give you out of center field? Does he have another big year? Because there's questions there. These guys, there's not a lot of proven guys on the roster, right? In terms of, there's proven guys on the roster, but guys that you still got young guys that haven't done it for years and years and years. And so we'll see where it goes. I think on paper, they're great. But I think if you're looking at a team that you think is built to win right now, and this is their window, I think the Red Sox have to be that team.
And we just lost Jan, and we appreciate the call.
Yeah.
And I'd love to hear his perspective on the Mets,
M-E-T-S,
too.
Yeah, Mets.
He's a big Mets guy. So maybe if he can give us a shout back or sometime next week.
Yeah.
So we can get a little Mets preview.
Well, and listen, the Mets, I think the Mets are in a great position as well, too, because all the talk is on Washington. You know that's where all the talk's going to be with this team. So the Mets can kind of come in, and if they stay healthy, I mean, going into last season, the Mets were supposed to have the best rotation in baseball. If you remember, we had a conversation with Tara Sullivan from the Bergen Record, and she said that the Mets were ready to take over New York City, that it was going to be the next great, you know, they were going to be the big team. So, you know, I think when it comes to baseball, it's a year-in, year-out thing. It depends on injuries, but should be a very interesting season, and obviously excited about it. It starts this week.
Yeah, it's going to be fun, and I think, like you mentioned, more so about the warm weather,
sun. It's going to be so good.
Let's get it going.
You know, I got up this morning, and I didn't even put a jacket on. I thought it was going to be a little bit warmer, and when I was walking into the studio, there's all those snow banks in the front. I thought they'd be hard and crusty, you know, and they're like—
Did you step right through it?
Right through it, like right up to my knee. You know, and I mean, I had to take three steps through it because I was in the middle of it at that point. So that's how the day started for me. Hey, listen, so let's move over to the NBA real quick. Kyrie Irving having a surgery today. It's not supposed to be very evasive, though. It's something that shouldn't be a huge ordeal for him. But that's got to be a concern with only 3 weeks left before the NBA playoffs start.
I mean, obviously, anytime you have surgery, it's a concern, and you're worried about that. But if it's helping him get some rest and get healthier, as the Celtics won last night in Portland.
Yeah,
that's,
big win.
Not an easy place to go in and win, as Portland's been playing well. You know, you just hope that the Celtics can kind of piecemeal it together and then get ready to make a run.
And they have a 4.5 game lead on the second spot. So they basically have a lock hold on the second spot. They're 4.5 games behind Toronto. So I don't know if winning, being the number one seed is that important. I think holding that number two seed, though, is going to be very important. But 4.5 games with, like, you know, 3 weeks left, that's a pretty good lead to have when you're a team like Boston. But losing Kyrie is definitely puts a damper on what they, I think, the expectation is. And does if they don't get to an NBA championship, is this a disappointing year for the Celtics?
I don't think so, given everything with the injuries that they've had. And I think they've made great moves in terms of, you know, Monroe last night gets a double-double. And, and the Celtics just have a lot of pieces and still a lot of assets. And I think, you know, I mean, obviously the ultimate goal is to get to the championship, and they could. But I just I'm not ready to bet against LeBron.
Is there
his year has been it's unbelievable.
That's what I guess that's the next question. Like, is there another team? I mean, are the Celtics and it's the Celtics in Toronto, and then I guess, and then you got to just keep believing in Cleveland, right?
You have to. Yeah. And if Washington comes back with John Wall and the Pacers have played well, I mean, there's just, you know, the Milwaukee Bucks are right there. The Sixers.
Yeah, the 76ers. Talk about an upcoming team. That's a great team.
And I kind of wasn't a believer, and those guys are fun. They're fun to watch, and they play well.
I mean, they've had about, you know, 27 straight first-round picks, so it's about time. You know what I mean? I mean, come on.
Well, and they've done it without Fultz.
No, I'm just playing.
Yeah, but you're right.
Yeah, and again, that's a team, that's an up-and-coming team. Boy, I'll tell you right now, the East has a bunch of really good young players.
Well, yeah, that's because they've been bad so long that they've all had the draft picks. You look at the West, there's going to be teams that, you know, would potentially win 45 games that don't even make the playoffs.
That's amazing. That is amazing. It's amazing how it works out that way too, right? How one conference for years and years in the 80s and 90s, if for the exception of the Lakers out West, the East was where the power was.
Right.
And then as the years have gone on, it just kind of evolved. So you're probably another 10 years, the power will be on the East again, and the West will be struggling. When you look at some of these organizations that are kind of falling back now in the West, and even looking at what Golden State's doing, they've had injuries. But look at this Houston team out West. I mean, that team is loaded.
And for me, it's San Antonio doing what they're doing without Kawhi Leonard.
I know. It's amazing.
It really is mind-boggling. Even Utah, the kind of year they're having – It's just neat. It's fun.
Yeah, it'll be great. Listen,
the first round will be really good.
The NBA season to me is daunting, and because I feel like I don't like the way they, you know, play. I feel like they don't take this very seriously. When the playoffs start and the big lights come on, that's when it's really good basketball.
Well,
that's when it's
even right now, like the basketball, it's at a higher level because there's teams out West that again they're gonna win 40 games, 45 games, and not get in.
On the NFL side, there's a big trade, and Giant fan people that don't like the Giants may not want to hear it, but JPP leaves the Giants. He's headed to Tampa Bay. The Giants got a third-round pick. They also swapped fourth-round picks for Jason Pierre-Paul. You know, listen, he was a great Giant, you know, but since 2011, he hasn't been the same player. He had a dominant, you know, rookie season. He had an opportunity to play with Tuck and OCU Mignora, helped them win a world championship. In fact, if it wasn't for that blocked field goal against Dallas when the Giants were a 500 football team, they may not even make the playoffs that year. So big time deal for the Giants to lose him, but I think in the long run, it's a great move for the New York.
Well, especially, again, getting the extra third pick and the cap money that they're going to save, not so much this year, because
right.
I think
it's only dead money this year.
It's like a couple million.
Yep.
But then I think it's 19 next year, and then 17 the year after. That's a lot of money to save, and that's money that's going to go to Landon Collins. That's money that potentially could go to OBJ if they choose to re-sign him.
That's a real good question, is whether the Giants should decide to do this with Odell Beckham Jr. and what they could get for Odell Beckham Jr. if they were to trade him.
Let's save that question for the next.
No, we definitely will, but it's interesting to see where this, and I get it, you know, the Giants were a 3-13 football team, but it's interesting to see what Gettleman has done to restructure this lineup and the organization. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see if they can compete even just for a playoff berth this year, because he's done some nice moves.
Now, you know, we always like to point our fingers, and I've been Mr. Reese, I was not a big fan of.
Right.
Now, what was the stat from all of his drafts from like 2012 to present day?
They're all gone except for Beckham, right?
From 2012 to 2016, they're all gone.
Right.
But they drafted Beckham and Landon Collins after that.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
How bad is that?
That is pretty bad. That is
But it's Eli's fault, in your opinion.
Oh, yeah. I think Eli is very average.
Okay.
Oh, he's average.
Yeah. I mean, it's Eli's fault that the drafts are just no good.
And I told you this, we talked about whether it's Eli or anybody, elite quarterbacks take what they have and you win with it. And Eli can't do it. And it's not Eli's fault. He's just an average quarterback. He's been great for the Giants. They've won championships, but
you can't say he's been great for the Giants and call him average.
He's been good for the Giants. He's been good. He had a couple good seasons.
Won two Super Bowls.
He won two Super Bowls, but two seasons where they barely made the playoffs and got hot at the right time. I mean,
so it's like the NCAA tournament.
A lot like it.
Right.
So
Virginia
that.
Has a great regular season and they're out because they can't win the big one.
Well, listen. Why do you do that?
Because you're going after my man Eli.
I know, but it has nothing to do with what happened to Virginia. Eli Manning, look, as a Giants fan, I appreciate what Eli did.
I guess that was just more the parallel of you just saying the Giants barely get in.
Yeah.
And I mean, Syracuse barely gets in and they get to the Sweet 16.
I agree. That's what makes this tournament so great.
That's what makes the NFL playoffs.
Totally agree with you.
Okay.
But that's thank you very much. You agree with everything I said then.
Right.
Then Eli's average.
No, Eli's great. Because he got hot at the right time and he played great.
He got hot at the right time. I totally agree with you. So for about, that's right. That's great. And that's what makes careers. But let me tell you something. If a couple plays don't go their way and they don't make the playoffs those 2 years.
Loyola Chicago's won three games by 4 points.
Stop comparing Loyola Chicago to Eli Manning.
They had to make a couple plays. They made the plays.
They're making the plays. Oh, my God. You were such an Eli apologist.
Did he not make the plays?
Yes, Bernie, he made the plays.
Thank
I'm
you.
Happy he made the plays.
Okay, period, end of statement.
That's right.
Okay.
But so did Trent Dilfer's made some good plays.
Good.
Right? Okay. Is he a great elite quarterback?
No.
Okay, that's Eli Manning.
No,
that's
Eli's
Eli
done
Manning.
It twice.
If Eli Manning played for anybody else, you would not be defending him like this. You'd be saying the exact same thing. And look, don't get me wrong. Eli's our quarterback. I love him.
No, I'm not saying that.
Yes, I do.
You do not.
He frustrates me.
Okay.
I think Eli Manning's probably one of the nicest guys. Listen, I've met him twice. You know,
I'm surprised you took the time to meet him. You don't like
him
that much.
Are you kidding? Listen, not only that, he does great things in the community for New York. I think he's a great person. In terms of a player, I think, you know what I mean?
Ugh.
But I don't want you to draft a quarterback in this draft, Gettleman. I want you to get somebody. I want you to get something else.
That's
not
why
a
you can ask our next guest. Yes.
All right, take a quick break. When we come back, Jeff Diamond. You're not going to want him in this. Former GM and senior vice president for the Minnesota Vikings and the Tennessee Titans. Two Super Bowl with the Tennessee Titans, almost Super Bowl with the Vikings, is here with us next. Jeff Diamond, don't go anywhere. Bernie, you got to admit it's been a crazy offseason for the NFL in terms of free agency.
Unbelievable.
And the draft is literally just weeks away. Can you believe the draft is? I mean, we're almost in April. Is that great or what? It's unbelievable.
Chaos aplenty.
It's going to be crazy.
Oh, I'm excited.
I know. You're big. You love it. You're just jacked up for that.
NFL draft's my thing, man.
And the draft is in Dallas this year. You know, AC, angry Philly fan AC can't wait for them to say the world champion Philadelphia Eagles.
That'll be interesting.
All the Dallas fans, that'll definitely be interesting. But who better to talk to than former NFL executive and general manager and also former NFL executive of the year right now in the TikTok Zero's guest line here on Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN. Our good friend Jeff Diamond joins us. Good morning, Jeff. Thanks so much for taking the time with us today.
My pleasure. Happy to be with you guys.
All right.
Thank you.
Jeff, anything surprising you in this era of free agency, at least where we're at this year? I mean, a lot of big names have been released. A lot of trades, a lot of crazy things are happening this offseason. Are you surprised by that?
Well, I don't think anything is necessarily a surprise in free agency, but I think it's certainly been interesting to watch the quarterback maneuverings, obviously. And you could kind of, I think what's different is how things fall into line so early. And it just seems like there's much less drama in terms of where players are going to go once you get to the week of free agency. And it seemed like, for example, Kirk Cousins decides on Minnesota and the dominoes start to fall. And here goes Case Keenum to Denver and Sam Bradford to Arizona and so on and so forth. And I think it's just interesting that you never really get to the start of free agency with a lot of drama on where these guys are going because it's almost musical chairs before it ever starts.
Now, Jeff, let me ask this question to you. Now, you were a former NFL executive of the year. You've been a general manager for Minnesota. You've been a part of the Titans organization. You've been around a lot of great teams. And besides the fact that if you had a later draft pick, you would have had a better season. But as an executive,
I can't hear you guys real well.
Oh, you're having trouble hearing us? Can you hear us okay here?
You should be good.
All right. Well, I'll ask.
Now it's better.
Is it better now? Okay. Well, I think we're okay. Maybe we're better now. Okay. Let me ask this question. Let me start it again. As an NFL executive, would you rather have the first couple picks or a later pick? And take away the mentality of having a better season. How much pressure is on organizations when they have a top two or three pick?
Well, I'd always rather have a later pick because that means I had a better season, first
right.
of all.
Right.
And probably a better chance that I kept my job. And so it's definitely a much better situation to be later in the first round, which fortunately for me, I was most of my NFL management career and rarely had a top 10 pick. I think it happened maybe once or twice in my career, and one of them was after a bad season in Minnesota, and we had the third overall pick. We picked Chris Dolman, who ended up in the Hall of Fame, so that turned out pretty good. But I've never had the top pick. I've never had the second pick. If you're in that position, and especially if you're John Dorsey with a brand new job in Cleveland, then you're in a pretty good situation because you bought some time and you've got the opportunity, and he's sitting there with two picks out of the top four and with a really great opportunity to take not only a potential franchise quarterback, but maybe the best player in the draft in Saquon Barkley. So I like John Dorsey's situation, even though the Browns' recent history has been dismal.
But don't you look at Dorsey's situation as he kind of, because it's been so dismal, he kind of has a free slate here. But I look at organizations like New York. I look at organizations that are, you know, the second pick, the third pick, you know, all those picks down. Like you have to get it right, right? I mean, really, these guys have to get this pick right.
Yeah, you definitely can't miss on that top pick, and that's definitely critical. And I think that the interesting part of that quarterback class is that it's almost beauty is in the eye of the beholder, and some people like Sam Darnold, some people like Baker Mayfield, Josh Rosen, and I think, and what history has told us is that really the best guys could be down the line. It could be Josh Allen, it could be Lamar Jackson, who comes through as a great player in the NFL. So it's going to be really interesting to see how it shakes out in the first round, and then to see where these guys go from there, and because there really is not a clear-cut guy. I guess Darnold's probably the favorite right now, but I wouldn't be surprised if it goes a different direction.
Jeff, how does the cat and mouse game work? You know, like let's say the Giants at number two saying they want Barkley, but then they put out feelers saying that they're going to take an offensive lineman. How does this all work for the game of jockeying for position and not tipping your hand?
Yeah, I think what it says is don't believe what you hear or read, because when it comes down to crunch time, that's when you'll really find out the answers. And so for the Giants, I wouldn't be surprised if they even traded out of the second spot if they decide that, if, for example, Barkley went number one and they decided that he was the guy they wanted and they don't necessarily aren't ready to move on from Eli yet, and so they don't want to take a quarterback that high, so maybe they drop down a half a dozen spots or whatever. I think the key thing is in the first round, if you're in the top five picks, I would never want to move out of, say, the top eight or nine, because we always felt in when I was with the Vikings, when I was with the Titans, we always felt there were about eight or nine blue chip players in every draft. And when I'm talking about blue chip players, I'm talking about really potential Pro Bowl, all pro caliber players. So if you drop out of the top nine or even top 10, then you're really risking that you're going to lose access to one of those top players.
We are talking to former NFL executive and general manager Jeff Diamond here on Sports Saturday on the TikTok through this guest line. Jeff, you know, you're also doing some writing right now at the Sporting News. An article I read from you a couple days ago was about Odell Beckham Jr. and your feeling about potential Giants.
Well, I'm losing you again. Sorry.
That is really odd here. Are we okay here, Aaron?
We should be good.
All right, I'm gonna try to answer. Maybe it's just me. I don't know. I'll ask the question again, Jeff. Part of what you're doing now is you're writing for. Can you hear me okay now?
Yes.
Okay.
A little better.
Okay. Part of what you're doing now is you're writing for the Sporting News, and I was reading an article about Odell Beckham Jr. In the article about the Giants potentially trading him. Do you think there'd be a huge market for Odell Beckham, even with everything that's gone on with him in the past?
Well, that's really a really interesting question, and I think, first of all, he's a great player, obviously. But is he more trouble than he's worth, which is what I was writing about in the Sporting News piece. And as a GM, I'm not going to give up a boatload of draft picks for a guy who I don't necessarily trust. How first of all, is he going to stay committed to football? Is he too interested in being a celebrity and hanging out with celebs and partying with Justin Bieber and all this and that? Now, I understand he's 25 years old, and guys do mature at different rates, and it could happen overnight that all of a sudden he gets it and says, okay, I need to really kind of clean up my act and really be focused on my career, and it's a short-lived NFL career. I think a lot of that's on the agent to get in his ear and to really talk to him about that. I work with an agent group, and we're always talking to our players about perception and about perception as reality, and you've got to make sure that the GMs and the team presidents and the owners out there think that you are 100% focused on football and you have a great motor and all this and that. And those are some of the questions that have come up with OBJ, with his decision-making on the field and off the field. And so I think that the market is going to be very limited. Now, there are going to be some teams that have a lot of cap room and then have interest in kind of a star type player. And I mentioned a team such as the Rams, for example, who are going to move into a new stadium in a couple of years. And they might be attracted to that sizzle that he could bring and help sell some tickets in that new stadium. But again, it's going to be, how much are they willing to give for a guy who's going to command a big, big contract? And first of all, he thinks he should be the highest paid player in the league regardless of position, which is ludicrous. And those are the kind of things that would bother me when a guy says stuff like that. He ought to be focused on being maybe equal to Antonio Brown at that $17 million, $18 million level. And if he gets to 20, great. But, hey, we're not talking about quarterback money here.
Do you see a lot of Chris Carter? I mean, you know, Chris Carter was kind of a polarizing wide receiver for a lot of his career, and he kind of turned it around. Do you see any of that in him?
I couldn't hear it great, but I think the question was about Chris Carter.
Yeah, do you see any of Chris Carter in Odell Beckham here? You know, Chris had a slow start and then really figured it out.
Yeah.
And could that happen for Odell?
I think the difference to me is that Chris got it much earlier in his career, and he had a couple of years in Philly where he had issues off the field, and then he was waived by Buddy Ryan, and then we picked him up in Minnesota, and fortunately he got connected to the right people and got himself on track, and so I don't know that there's a really necessarily a comparison there, because I think Chris always just was so impressive to me in his game preparation, but then again I didn't see him in Philly, so I can't speak to that, but certainly there are other players that have had not that Odell's had a slow start to his career. He's got over 300 catches in 4 years, including one season he missed 12 games. So it's just all the other stuff that's out there on him and the on-field battles that he had with Josh Norman and the blindside hits that he had and then all this other stuff. And then the boat trip to Miami was just the most ridiculous thing the week of a playoff game to put that attention on yourself. It's such a selfish move. And those are the things that I think are bothersome. And I never saw that type of behavior in Chris Carter. So it's just he's a really an enigma type of player. In terms of what Odell Beckham is, he can be great. I hope he gets it. I hope he's got people that can get in his ear and get him focused. And if that's the case, I think he can have a great career.
Jeff, if you're the Giants, who are you taking at number two in the draft?
Well, I think I've got a quarterback who is, what, about 35, 36 years old in Eli, who's coming off of kind of a shaky season. And so if I'm sold on one of those quarterbacks, those young quarterbacks, I'm going to always take a quarterback that high, because the name of the game is having a franchise quarterback in a passing driven league. And so if the Browns do take Barkley number one, they got their pick of the litter at quarterback, and they like Darnold, or they like Rosen, or they like Mayfield, or Josh Allen, then I would say go for that. And then you deal with the repercussions of how Eli Manning feels about it. And I think Eli is a smart guy, a great teammate, and I think he'll be okay with it. But if the quarterback you like is not there, or you don't judge them to be equal to that spot, and Cleveland takes the quarterback, well, then maybe Barkley is the guy. It used to be you didn't want to take a running back that high, but I think we've seen some guys be very productive the last few years as top 10 picks a running back, obviously. And so, but who knows? The Giants may decide that their guy is Bradley Chubb, the best pass rusher, that they think he's the next LT, or maybe it's Quentin Nelson, the great guard from Notre Dame that people compare with the best players, inside players in the league. So all you want to be sure of, number two, is you're getting a future Pro Bowl player, all-pro caliber player, and then you got to take the best guy on your board, really, if I'm the Giants.
Jeff
and
Diamond.
I think that's what Dave Gettleman will do. I think Dave Gettleman is that type of guy.
Jeff Diamond, we appreciate your chat, and thanks so much, and we'll talk to you again down the road.
Great. Thanks, guys. Have a great rest of the weekend.
Thank you, man. Jeff
Diamond. I mean, he's got so much knowledge. He's been there, done that. And I'm bummed out that I don't know if my microphone wasn't working or not, but it's good perspective to know how stressful it's got to be if you're an NFL GM or executive that you've got to make the decision in the top two or three picks that you can't miss.
We get stressed out over fantasy drafts.
That's true. Well, I don't, because I seem to win every year.
Well, that's because you have more people.
I got a good team around me.
Yeah,
that's no question about that.
So imagine what it's like to
have to really be the guy.
Yeah,
not easy.
Like if you're Cleveland right now, I think it's pretty easy. But
I do too. But I think for Cleveland, because they've been so bad at this new guy, I feel like okay, we'll just see what he does.
Yeah.
But for organizations like the Giants, the Jets, the Bills, all these organizations that you can't get it wrong, and maybe the Bills are wrong because they were kind of lower, but whoever the top four, five, six picks are, you can't miss, So I wouldn't want to have that decision, I can tell you that. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, hot or not, you're not going to want to miss it. Don't go anywhere. You know what that sound is?
Trouble.
Yeah,
that means Aaron's girlfriend did some work and trying to make us look good.
Stupid.
She's had a long week.
She had a long week. She's been working hard. This is our Hot or Not segment here on Sports Saturday 101.3 ESPN. Aaron, you're the host of Hot or Not, so take it away, buddy.
All right, this is Hot or Not. I've got takes, but you got to tell me whether they are hot or not. Take number one. Their re-signing of a solid 2017 performer in Josh McCown and the addition of Teddy Bridgewater means that the Jets haven't traded up for a quarterback at all. Instead, they're trying to get in the running for Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, I would say that's a big not. I mean, if you're resting your laurels on Josh McCown and Teddy Bridgewater coming back from that terrible knee injury that almost took his life, let alone him coming back to play football, he's a miracle to play football, then maybe you really are the New York Football Jets. I think they've moved up to three in hopes of getting a quarterback, and my guess is one of those kids will be there when it's time to pick.
Not. No question about it. Like you said, if we just had Jeff Diamond on, who's an executive, yep. And he's saying you got to... And the NFL is based on franchise quarterbacks. The Jets are trying to get a quarterback.
And I think Bridgewater, if anything, he's there for this year. Josh McCown has a problem. I think it's there. You want there's some competition there.
Well, they might
and with the kid they draft.
Who's the guy the Giants had.
Oh,
bringing him back to New York.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
What was his name?
I don't know.
Come on.
I forgot. I can picture him. Number seven.
Guy who broke Eli's streak.
Yeah.
It's awful.
That's Eli. That's Geno Smith.
Thank you.
That's Eli's fault. That's not Geno Smith's fault.
Hot or not, please.
Okay, just keep
going. All right. Number two, on opening day against the Blue Jays, the Yankees will hit at least four homers.
Hot.
I love when Bernie just wants to move
on. Not even close. That lineup is going to be ridiculous. I'm going to say they're going to have five different guys hit home runs in opening day.
An opening day, yeah. That's such a not. Jay Happ always beats the Yankees. He's the Yankees are batting like 100 against them. They might hit a home run or two, but it's not going to be four. I mean, listen, I hope you're right. I'm all in for five home runs a game. I'm all in for the Yankees going 162-0. I'm all in for all of that. But I just think, I'm telling you right now, on the road, up in Toronto, Toronto's a decent team. Hap is very good against the Yankees. We'll see. But I would say definitely. Four home runs is a lot of home runs in any game.
So you're saying not?
I say not.
Okay, when is opening day for the Yanks?
I believe it's Thursday.
Thursday. Yep. Yep.
Wow.
So we'll see. All right, number three, Johnny Manziel worked out at San Diego's Pro Day. He will be on an NFL roster in the 2018 season.
That's a big not on my end. I will say the same thing. You know, here's the thing about the NFL and executives in the NFL. These guys have to get it right all the time. And a guy like Manziel, if you bring him in, if he's not going to be a starter for you, if Johnny Manziel isn't the guy that's going to come in and play for you, I'd say the same thing about Colin Kaepernick. If he's not the guy that's going to come in and play and be your quarterback, and you bring in a guy like this, that's a distraction because the questions are going to be all about Johnny Manziel. I would be stunned if he was on a roster. I think he's got a long way to go just from going to a pro day to be on a roster. And I think he brings a lot of baggage. So I think for any organization that would be looking at him, I think that would be a big mistake.
I'm going to say hot. I'm going to say he's going to make a roster. I think, you know, all the issues that he's had has come kind of full circle and it's out there. And I think he's got a fresh look. I think he looked great at his pro day. I think he's going to go in there and surprise people because he is talented. He's got a lot of talent. And yes, the distractions will be there, but I'm going to say he's going to be on a roster.
How are you going to base whether you're going to sign a guy to a pro day? Like, I don't get any of that.
Well, it's
I mean, Johnny Manziel looked great in his pro day when it's called. Remember he came out, he was wearing all the pads and everything that nobody else does?
He's going to get an invite. Someone's going to give him an invite and give him a chance, and I think he's going to make the most of it.
He also looked great in his pro day. He had 38 throws and 2 misses.
No, I mean, I agree, and I get all that, but I mean, I just think Johnny Manziel brings a lot of baggage. And if things go, and if you bring him in and your team, say your team is supposed to be great and they end up not being great and he does his old tricks, you know, that's on the executive and the GM that made that decision to bring him in here. And these jobs are so fickle and they're so sensitive that I can't imagine somebody rolling the dice on that unless you really were, you know, you're putting all your chips to the middle and you're going for it. I would be stunned. But listen, I'm a man of second chances. I think Johnny Manziel deserves it, Bernie, and you're right. He's got a lot of talent.
But you'd say, like, you know, the tricks, but those tricks I think have been kind of corrected because of the illness and everything has kind of come out. So I'm hoping he gets that second chance because I still think he's pretty talented.
I agree with you, yeah. And I hope he does too. The question to me isn't like, do I hope he gets another chance? The question is, do I think he'll be on a roster? And I think if you do that with him, I mean, I get all that, the illness and everything that's come full circle, but you kind of feel like, for me, I'd have to see a little bit more from Johnny Manziel, you know, which would really benefit me if I was a team that maybe wanted to get him next year. Like, if somebody else would roll the dice on him so I could see how it went, and maybe I'd send him next year. I'd like that. But I mean, you might be right, but I'm going to say not on that one.
All right, number four, Tiger Woods' return will make this the most watched Masters ever.
Without question, hot. It is going to be, you know, so much fun between opening day on, you know, Wednesday, Thursday,
yep,
and Tiger on Thursday, Friday.
If he makes a cut. I mean, Saturday, Sunday will be huge if he makes a cut.
You know, just it's going to be awesome.
No, I'm hot. I mean, the PGA Tour needs Tiger Woods.
Of course.
I mean, I don't care what anybody wants to
tell
you.
We've been talking about that for years.
You know, Justin Spieth and McIlroy and all those guys and the great players, a lot of fun, but they're not Tiger Woods. They do not put butts in the seats like Tiger Woods do. They do not pay the bills like Tiger Woods does on a national level on television. Tiger Woods is still the face of golf. Either you love him or you hate him. But I'm going to tell you something. He brings something with him when he comes back. And not only is he coming back, Bernie, I mean, he's playing really good golf. I mean, he has played really well since his return is there. He looks like the old Tiger Woods, not as seasoned as the old Tiger Woods was. It was winning championship after championship. But I'm going to tell you something. The Augusta National is built for Tiger Woods. It is built for Tiger Woods. If he putts well and can keep his drives in the fairway, he's going to be in contention come Sunday. I'm telling you right now.
And he's healthy. You know, he looks like he's having some fun.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Tiger Woods always looked like he was having fun when he was winning. It's just, you know, but the injuries.
So he's great. He's Grayson Allen. Okay.
No, he's not. Yeah. No, dude, stop it. Okay. He is not Grayson Allen.
All right.
You be quiet about that.
Okay.
You and I both know you agree with me on Grayson Allen.
No.
You're very hot on the Grayson Allen. My take on Grayson Allen. You
no,
all
not. Not.
All right. Number five, call me a prisoner of the moment, but Loyola Chicago will be in the Final Four.
Go ahead, Bernie. You want to take that one first?
You know, you never bet against God, but in this case, I am. I'm going to say not. I don't think they get it done. I don't think they're going to be able to score enough today. You know, I love the way they play defense. I love the way they rebound. And if you watch them, everything, when they catch the ball, they square up. Everything is either a pass fake or a shot fake if they're not roaring to the basket. So those fundamentals are great, but I just think after winning three games by a total of 4 points, they're done.
I'm all in. I'm hot. I think they're going to win. I think Kansas State is an overrated basketball team. They play great defense. Take nothing away from what Bruce Weber's done at Kansas State to get them here at this point. They were a team, I think, an afterthought going into the tournament. They've gotten themselves in this position. I think on paper they look good, but Loyola Chicago has got something going on, and I got to tell you, this tournament is not about the better team. It's about mojo, and right now Loyola Chicago's got that mojo. I expect them to be in the Final Four and probably playing Michigan come next week. Pretty amazing story for a great program, and what a great story with the sister involved. It's going to be great. Loyola Chicago going to the Final Four. I say hot.
All right. And finally, Florida State will upset Michigan.
Go ahead, Byrne.
I'm saying hot. I'm staying with the ACC only because I know too many Michigan fans and I want them to lose. So I got to stay loyal to the ACC. So I'm going to say hot. Let's go Seminoles.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm going to say not. Obviously, I'd like to see Florida State win as well, being an ACC fan myself, and I'm not a big fan of Michigan as well. But I think Michigan right now is playing another level. I think Michigan potentially could compete for a national championship. I would have never thought this, even with as well as they played in the Big Ten tournament. I still thought them coming in here, I thought they'd have trouble. They have continuously been successful. They've been hot the whole way. I say hot. Was a question, are they going to beat Florida State or is Florida State?
Florida State's going to upset Michigan.
I say not. I say the roll ends here today for Florida State. Michigan moves on. I say not.
I just think again, you look at Loyola and Kansas State, who have created some chaos, and Michigan was the benefactor of Texas A&M beating Carolina, sure, which would have been a better matchup, yep, and Michigan should roll to the finals.
They definitely should. That side is Michigan's to lose. But listen, don't sleep on Florida State, a very good defensive team.
They played, what, 13 guys or 11 guys, yeah, in the first half?
And they're big, and yes, they're a big basketball team, so it'll be interesting to see that matchup today. I'm interested to see that. All right, that's hot or not for the week. Another successful one. Congrats to your girlfriend.
Great job, and one last hot Duke will be in the Final Four. Okay.
Not. No, hot. What are you talking about? Of course they are. They're the best talent in the tournament. They should be. It'd be a disappointment if they're not. They're all first round.
They're a two seed. They maxed out.
They're all going to be like this unbelievable. They're all going to be talent in the NBA next year. Leading organizations. They should be in the Final Four. That's what happens. Yeah,
they're a two seed. They should go to the Final Eight.
Sandbagger, Bernie Siplicki. We'll be right back. Thank Jason Mastrodonato of the Boston Herald. We talked a little Red Sox with him, Bernie. Opening day is this week. Exciting times. Exciting. Spring is here.
Yes. Get rid of the snow, please.
Get rid of that snow. I know. As an AD, it's got to be a nightmare for spring sports, right?
Ugh. It's awful, but we're all...
So what, everyone's going to be
all
like,
in it together.
Everyone's going to have like 3-game regular season and then playoffs.
I mean...
It is what it is.
That's right.
That's right. Jeff Diamond. Great talk with Jeff Diamond. Senior Vice President of the Minnesota Vikings and General Manager. Also an executive with the Tennessee Titans. 1998 NFL Executive of the Year, Jeff Diamond, gave us great insight on what we can expect to see out of the draft, decisions that he would have made if he was still doing this stuff. And again, I don't know if I could handle that job, having to make the decision of picking one of the top 3 or 4 players. That's you can't miss on those.
Can you imagine with the 4 quarterbacks and you know, you got the Ryan Leaf,
oh yeah,
you know, boo-boos, and the Rick Meyer,
yeah,
and all the like the 1-2s where there's been one of them that have been a bust.
You can go to basketball. The kid between Durant and the big kid from Ohio State back in the day.
Greg Oden.
I mean, again, we've talked about this before every draft, but I would hate to have to make that decision because you can't miss. That's why I'd almost want to trade for like lower picks and some talent back, just because you really can't miss on those picks. And some of these organizations, that's, you know, you base your whole, I mean, that's what it's all based on. You ever see the movie Draft Day? It's a great movie with Kevin Costner.
Yeah.
I love that movie.
It's a great movie.
It is a great movie. By the way, when I went to that movie, I was the only one in the movie theater. It's no lie. The movie was at 1 o'clock over in Williston. Monica didn't want to go. I'm like, I'm going to run over and watch this movie. There's nobody in there. It was great. I had my phone on. I was talking loud on the phone. I even told the guy, can you stop? I have to go to the bathroom for a second. Will you stop it for just 1 second? I'm, you know, and he's like, no, I can't do that. But anyway, it was
that's interesting.
Yeah. You're not that impressed, I can tell.
Well, I just feel bad that you're watching a movie alone.
Well, it's actually great.
Okay.
You know, I had like seats, feet up on the seats. You know, I had my the milk duds, the popcorn, you know, had a diet soda. It was a great day.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it was nice. Been a great movie on the big screen. So if you haven't seen it, check it out. Bernie, thanks again, buddy. Great week, as usual.
Thank you.
Good luck to your Dukes tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I think you're in good shape. As usual, the Duke Blue Devils, I'm sure, will get there to the Final Four again. Your mighty Krzyzewskis will get it done.
I'm nervous. They're the 2 seed. It'd be an upset if they won.
Well,
so.
I will say this. You are definitely Papa dressed Smurf. For it. And I will just say, let me tell something else, right? I feel there's a point in life where it's against the rules to be able to wear, like, Duke shorts, Duke sweat. Like, you can only wear one thing. Like, for example, as a Virginia fan, I wouldn't wear a Virginia sweatshirt and a Virginia hat. Maybe the Virginia hat and something else. You only wear one item.
Okay.
It's a one item kind of thing.
Okay.
Unless you're like 8, then you can wear anything you want.
I'll wear whatever I want. When I want.
I know you know
I'm a fashion king.
You are. Look at you. All right, guys. Have a great week, Aaron. Great job. We're back here next Saturday. We're here every Saturday on 101.3 ESPN. We're Sports Saturday. We're living the dream. We're taking you with us. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week.